Shall we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6? Book of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses from 9 to 15. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, on Friday we have seen what the Lord is saying, that what not to pray. And then in these verses, today's portion, we see that what we are supposed to and how we are supposed to pray. In verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray. And this is just to understand how we ought to pray. The Lord has made this one. But when you make this as something very literal, and the prayer means only saying these verses in every prayer, or only that, and that is not what the Lord wanted. And if you look at the book of Luke's gospel, then that is a different thing. So we should not do that, as some churches practice, repeating these verses as the Lord's prayer in prayers, or sometimes that is the only prayer they say. And that is not really edifying, and also not expressing, not that what the Lord meant in to teach his disciples how to pray. In verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So in the Old Testament, the concept of calling God as Father was not there. But in the New Testament, that is a different platform by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ has brought us in. So book of John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 17. And Jesus said then to her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and go unto my God and your God. So there, because of his wonderful work completed on the cross, and God the Father had raised him up from the dead, so both works, which he was delivered for our offenses and rose again for our justification when that is completed, and he about to go to the Father by ascension. And he told that Mary, that now I am going to my Father and your Father and your God and my God. So when that has been completed, the new and living way was open for us, that we are going to be his brethren, and our heavenly God is going to become our heavenly Father. Book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everything. Verse 10. For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, that is, all of one Father, or one family, or one root. For which cause he is not ashamed to be called them brethren. So he became our brother, and God became our Father. And because of the work which he has completed on the cross, and later on followed by the resurrection. And Paul, in the same book, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And he is the Father of our spirits. And this relationship, God who has established it for all of us, but those who accepted him as their personal savior, and now brought those who came into the new relationship with him, for them he is our father. Book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. 8, 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when by adoption we have been accepted by the Lord through the Spirit, or the adoption of the Spirit was given to us, then that is an indication that we are the children of God. And because of that boldness and accessibility which is opened through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our prayers we call him as our Father. It is not just my Father or only somebody else, believer's brother, a father. It is together, he is our Father, he became our Father. So we come back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name. Book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of your sanctuary, our sanctuary. That is, God the Father who established his throne in that place. It is a glorious high throne. So in New Testament we see the kingdom of heavens. It is always plural there. So that means one part of the heaven. And we see in the book of Job chapter 1, the Lord descended from his place to the place where he conducted that meeting. And in the book of Psalms 82, we see there the Lord was also conducting a meeting among the angels. And now the kingdom of heavens, where the host of the fallen angels occupied that place and dwells there, that is one part. And where God dwells, it is in the Most High, that is the highest part of the heavens. And between these two, where God descends time to time to conduct his governmental affairs pertaining to the earth and all other matters. And that is where we see in book of Job chapter 1, chapter 2, and Psalms 82, and 2 Kings last chapter. In all these places we see those pictures. But when we read in book of Jeremiah, that is his throne is set up in the highest of the high. And the book of Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth all. So that is where he sits. And also we see 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. How much less is this house that I have built? So now King Solomon, in his prayer, he is putting all those three parts of the heaven, three spheres of the heavens. And he said, who can really contain him? And when we are coming to the presence of the Lord in prayer, the same writer, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, he says, The Lord is in high and heavenly places. We are on the earth. When we come to Him, our words should be few. That means we need to weigh our words and speak in such a carefulness. And because of His position and the authority where He is, and His, as we read in Jeremiah, that and is the place of our sanctuary, that is His living place, it is a holy place. And high and holy is the place where God dwells. And when we come to His presence, we need to understand that. And though He is our Father, but as far as the accessibility and the relationship is concerned, there He brought us into the new relationship. But as far as His holiness is concerned, we need to understand, and accordingly we need to utter our words before His presence. And come back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this hallowed is in Greek, it is called hagazio, or the meaning is sanctified. That is the meaning. That means when we come to His presence, He is not only living in high and very lofty places, but He is also Holy One. So according to that, a believer should have the consciousness in all my conduct and whatever I am doing, and I need to have the consciousness of His holiness when I come and before I kneel down. And not only that time, but all the time. And accordingly, I need to conduct my life here when I am coming to Him and pleading for my needs or putting my burden, or to have fellowship with Him or communion with Him. And I should not take it very lightly or carelessly in my life. Hallowed be thy name means in the depraved world, in the fallen condition of the earthly living here, when people are living in sin and committing sins and gone away from the presence of God, where the relationship is broken, where the prince of the world is ruling and making the minds of the people blind, not to see the truth and not to experience the love of God, and completely diverted them in arrogance, pride, attitude, and defying God, and in apostasy, idol worship, and people learn to live by themselves as gods. That is all too much of opposition to the God's holiness. But we, as the children of God, we need to be conscious of what was going on in the world, how we, those who are having the adoption of the Spirit, those who call Him Abba Father, those who are having the consciousness of the presence of God in high and holy places, in our life, that need to be started. And that is how His name will be hallowed. And when we are mixing with the world in our conversations, communications, and in our dealings and our thoughts, then we are not giving any honor as far as His holy name is concerned. When we become like any of those children or the people of the world, then through us, His name is not sanctified. And when we are praying, Lord, hallowed be thy name, that means I am conscious of thy holy presence and holiness, where you live and what is your character and what kind of a sanctified life that I must live, and with that continual practicing in my life, set apart from the things of the world, the fallen world, from the natural abilities of the man, then I glorify my Lord in correspondence to the higher standards of the sanctified living. Then that is how I will really can say, hallowed be thy name. When I am not able to really glorifying God in respect to His character, His behavior, and I am just like any other person who is in the world, in many ways of my life, regular day-to-day life, then his name is sanctified through me. When I want to pray, that means that is what I am desirous of practicing in my life, and that is the earnest desire I carry in my heart. This entire world may come to know what is the holiness and the standard of life what the Lord is expecting in this world or from the people here. And when I am not able to live that one, then my just saying, hallowed be thy name, has got no meaning at all. So the Lord expects, and those who are adapted by him and given the earnest of the Spirit in their lives. And when the Spirit is talking to us, what is Father and what is Son, and where they live, what is their nature, what it means to be in association or living in relationship with them. And as we see their faces, the glory, the light of their countenance, in all holiness and the bright and the beautiness, and our life, the fallen nature, must continue to transform towards the holiness of the Lord. So book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 and verse 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that is exactly in verse 4 what it means there. So when we are coming out of the depravity of all the corruption of this fallen world, and then moving to the divine nature because of that exceeding and precious promises what the Lord has given and they are working in us, then we are able to say, the Lord is setting apart me in my ways of life here on the earth. And his name should be glorified and respected, honored through my life. And that should be the desire of my heart for all the people, the brothers and sisters, and also the entire creation. That will come later on. But we, those who are called as the children of God, when that kind of a separated, sanctified life is the one which really makes and gives the glory to the name worthy of that His Highness and Holiness. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So when we say now in the first verse 9, we see where our relationship to begin with, and where he dwells, and what is his character, and how we need to be conscious of that, his place and his character both. And now we see in verse 10, what we ought to pray, he says, that is, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that is the first thought the Lord expressed to his disciples, that is what should be the first order of the things in prayer. Thy kingdom come. So that means now on the earth it is a different kingdom, or the ruler of this world is different. Though God created the heaven and the earth, and God, when he created the heaven and the earth, earthly part of the authority and the dominion was entrusted to the hands of the man. We see in book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 onwards. But because he is fallen into the trap of the enemy and committed sin, and authority and the dominion is also gone to the hand of the Satan again back. And now, as we read in 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, we know that the whole world lieth in the evil one. And in John chapter 14, we see that and 16, he is the prince of this world. And he is the one who is now ruling. In the morning, we have seen in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, in the Ephesians chapter 2, that he is the one in heavenly places influencing the people upon the earth. So the earthly part of the dominion is now in the hands of the prince of this world, that is the enemy and the Satan. And the time will come, the Lord will dethrone him, and he will take charge of the affairs of the earth also. And that is the last days just before the coming of the Lord, the events which will unfold. First, the judgments upon the earthly people, then there is a fight, war, and he and his other forces, Satan and his other forces, will be put to naught, completely destroyed, and the forces will be destroyed, and he will declare the victory, and then there will be a declaration, the kingdoms of the earth will be the kingdoms of our Lord. But that is the burden of our Lord, that you pray that let thy kingdom come. But we need to clearly understand that we are under the rule of the evil one. So I'll read a couple of references for you. So those who are new, then please try to understand this. Book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one, or the wicked one. So, those who are accepted the Lord, they are belong to God, but the rest of the world is under the influence or the spell of the wicked one. And the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So this is the God of this world is the Satan. And John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. And also in book of John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And when he is the one who has the influence upon the earth and influencing the people to not to come to the law, not to come to the light, and experience the salvation from the power of him. As long as that continues, the God's kingdom upon the earth is still not there. But once it is disturbed because of the sin of the first man Adam, and God is still working. And his working is continuous till our Lord Jesus Christ will dethrone him and will establish the kingdom upon the earth as a Jerusalem as a center of the activity. And until that time, the prayer continues, the saints' prayer continues, and thy kingdom come. And book of Daniel chapter 2, so we're reading verses from 37 to 44, or 36 onwards. So here, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and now that was explained by Daniel to him. And it is the brief explanation of that one in verse 36 onwards. This is the dream, that we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for God of the heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So there is a statue that is gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and then mixture of iron and clay. And he is explaining starting from gold. And verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear the rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were a part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So ultimately, that is what it is going to stand. It will break all those kingdoms, and it will be established, and it will stand forever. And that is what the burden of our Heavenly Father to be established on the earth. And all these kingdoms, which is starting from Nebuchadnezzar, and that was about BC 700 years ago, close to that age, to now, these all four kingdoms which are set up in that dream has been coming to pass. We are in the end times of that mixture of iron and clay, and that will all be soon raised up, and the Lord will come with his host of heavenly angels and army, and will destroy them in the war in Book of Revelation chapter 16 in a place called Armageddon. At that time, then he will establish his kingdom upon the earth. And till that time comes, the prayer should continue. And that is what the burden of our Father. And also, those who are really, truly born again and started experiencing the heavenly characters, and the transformation is going on in those lives, and started experiencing the love, the affection, and also the things of the heaven, and how God is going to rule, bring the peace and joy in their hearts, instead of all the time, the turmoil, distortion, sin, evil, immorality, and when we are seeing the other part of the world, that one, and the believers, those who are separated, and when we are experiencing those characteristics and the blessings of the Lord reigning in our heart, and our desire for the setting of the kingdom of the Lord upon the earth continue to increase, and that burden should continue. And the greatest burden what the God the Father has, that we should be redeemed for the power of this enemy upon the earth, and should be rolled back to that original position, the purpose for which man was created by God, to have the dominion over the things of the earth. And that burden still continued in Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's design and the prayer. And we need to have the greatest burden for that matter, to live and also earnestly look for that kind of a ushering of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God on the earth. So as we've seen many times in the book of Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord. So as we have seen in book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 44, and that is also corresponding to that. But when that time comes, when the Lord establishes his kingdom, still, book of Isaiah chapter 65, this is the condition there. Book of Isaiah chapter 65 verse 20. So this chapter partly speaks of the days of our Lord's coming kingdom and how the life is going to be there, that time. I'm reading verse 20. There shall be no more than an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And that is how the people live. So that means even after the establishment of the kingdom of heavens upon the earth, under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, but still there are deaths. So the enemy who was defeated, put for 1,000 years in abyss, as we see in book of Revelation chapter 20. People who are born in the flesh, still having the nature of the fallen Adamic nature, that was not totally changed. So they are now living under the rule of Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to rule the earth with the rod of iron. There we see in book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11, every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. So though they do that, but yet the sin lurking around, that means if there is an opportunity, people will still commit sin. It is not that they are wholeheartedly, completely abhor the sin and not to commit the sin and only love the divine nature and follow the Lord in their wholeheartedness. And that is why there is also death. So though infants live up to 100 years, but still there is death. But when God the Father, so book of Matthew chapter 15, I will read from verse 24 onwards. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered of the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall he be destroyed is death. So, till all the enemies will be put to, all the enemies, for he must reign till he put all the enemies under his feet. That means everything is brought under the subjection. The Lord Jesus Christ will be continued to rule. And when he completes that part, that means after 1,000 years, when the Satan is put into that everlasting fire. And at that time, then in verse 27, for he had put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is respected which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So in simple way I'm saying, paraphrasing, after the rule of the 1,000 years, Son will deliver back the kingdom unto the hands of the Father. At that time where the power of the death is completely destroyed and there is no death and there is no sin, when the heaven and the new heaven and the new earth is formed, that is after 1,000 years of the rule, then God the Father will descend unto the earth, new earth, where we read in book of Revelation chapter 22. So the tabernacle of God is among men. That means God living among men. So what we are going to see in chapter Revelation 22, what we see in the time of 1,000 years rule is a foretaste of what it is going to be in the eternal kingdom when God comes upon the earth and lives with the people. The tabernacle of God is among the people on the earth. So when our Lord was asking to pray, let thy kingdom come. So both those stages, one, the millennial kingdom, where the Son is going to be the head upon the earthly ruling. And he will bring all the his enemies under his subjection. And he will continue to manifest the nature, character of the heavens upon the earth. But still, the sin and the death will be there after 1,000 years, when the enemy is completely be destroyed and put it into the eternal fire, where there will not be any coming back. Sin is annihilated. The death is completely destroyed. Then the Heavenly Father coming upon the earth and living among the people. And that is the state called New Heaven and the New Earth after 1,000 years. So our burden should be for that, for 1,000 years, and later on followed by the eternal kingdom, and where the saints have a wonderful position, and those who are earnestly desirous of the Lord's character and the Lord's nature may be manifested, and the entire creation is subjected to the man. What we see in the book of Genesis in creation, that is completely being experienced by those overcoming believers. No more sin, no more death. And everything is wonderfully for the glory of the Son, for which it has been created, under the dominion of the man, where the man is able to rule according to the plan and the will of God. Then we can say, your kingdom has come.
Brother,
yes.
In this 1,000 years, the millennial period, will there be sin, and will not there not be any sin?
People may not commit sin, but there is a nature of the sin because of this fallen nature which was there in us. So, for example, our Lord has come, let us say, 50 years later. But the children who are here now, those children, became Christians. And those, some are not born again Christians and still living. And by the mercies of the Lord, those who are all escaped all the judgments and wars and famines and enter into the millennial kingdom of God as subjects of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what kind of a nature when they were born upon the earth?
Sinful nature.
That would be continued even during the time of the millennial kingdom. But the Lord will rule with the rod of iron. So it is like a Sharia law in Saudi. You cannot commit theft, adultery, prostitution, or so many things. But whether people have a desire to commit those things or no, you lived in Saudi, so you would know that. They had a desire to do it or not to do it.
They do.
Is what is going to be the state of that. They know that this cannot be done. But if any opportunity is given to the man, the fallen man, any time, and if there is no punishment, he would not hesitate to commit.
So Satan keeps tempting also in those 1,000 years, right?
He is bound in abyss. But the nature of the man, which was already brought into the flesh, what the man is inherited or the transited into the new eternal millennial kingdom, that has the capacity to commit sin. That is also not acceptable for God to live in with the man.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is, they may not do these sins what now we are seeing now.
Okay.
So as long as we read in book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12, through one man's sin, death came in, and death ruled over all. So as long as sin is there, or the nature of the sin is there, so I will read that one. That will give you very good clarity. Book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So even those who have not committed the similitude of the Adam's transgression, still death reigned over them. So the nature in a fallen man, though he came into the kingdom of heaven, into the millennial kingdom, but still there is a nature in the fallen man's natural flesh and blood. And the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So they must go. So the man should be completely be into a dimension where God is a spirit and a spiritual form of the body is required. That is not the case would be in the, during the time of 1,000 years. So that is the how the Lord is planning to do, and that is what we find in the scripture. But for that has a, that is what it is going to happen in the fullness of time. And the Lord will descend and destroy the power of the enemy, and he will establish the kingdom. At that time, the glorified saints also will have a part in that victory, and they will also rule with the Lord. But till that happens, and we as believers, then we need to have that kingdom or the rule of heavenly rule on in our hearts. And then we can say, the authority of the Lord is prevailing in my heart. And Jesus Christ is the king of my life. So we sing Psalm 121, he is king of my life. But at least during that time we remember that. But many other times that is not the experience of us while regular living. But what? How do the believers bring in or usher the kingdom of heaven or his kingdom of God into our hearts and our lives now? When you allow him to rule your life, then that is partly possible. But that is not the whole thing. But we need to look into a little more diligently than that. That we will look into that tomorrow.
Brother, one question.
Yes.
Romans 6:23 is not applicable in Isaiah 65:23.
Romans 6:23, that the gift of God is...
The wages of sin.
Yeah. That is... there are two things, brother. Eternal life. So those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal savior, the gift of God is eternal life. So they will enter into the eternity. But when they have to enter into the eternity, this natural bodies will not be able to enter there. Where God's presence is there, there is no natural man or flesh and blood cannot stand before him. It needs to be a transformed, spiritual, glorious bodies. So in the transition of the time, where the people have natural bodies, those who are here before the millennial kingdom and survived all the judgments and participated in the millennial kingdom, having the same bodies, they are not changed. As long as they are here, same bodies will continue. But if they are glorified, or either by the resurrection or by the rapture, they have a different bodies. Without that bodies, we cannot stand before the Lord. So, but what is the advantage of believing the Lord that time? Those who, before the Lord and after that, they will enter into the new heaven and the new earth with the different bodies, not with the bodies of this nature.
But the overcoming believers who are going to come along with the Lord Jesus Christ to
they
rule.
They have a different body.
Brother, I'm a little bit confused, huh?
Okay, later brother's point will be clarified. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm reading from verse 35 onwards, brother. 15:35 onwards. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So unless it dies, then it will not come with a glorious, different body. And that which thou sowest not that the body shall be, but bare a grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, it hath pleased him, and so every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another can beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. So those who live in the higher ups and those who are on the earth. But the glory of celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So what the body lives there is different than the what the body or we are living is here, different. Verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So within the celestial bodies, then there are different glories, sun, moon, stars. And within the stars there are differences. So those glories difference differ from every believer the way God wanted to glorify them. Accordingly, it will glories also will change. Are we clear, brother, so far?
Yeah, my point was because...
Yeah, I'm coming to the end point. No, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So it is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So the living soul cannot stand in the presence of God forever in eternity. He should be a living spirit.
That is after 1,000 years.
And those after 1,000 years, that is true. And the question is, if anybody, what happens then, the people who are living in the millennial kingdom, and they cannot put on the glorious bodies as long as they do not taste the death. And those who are overcoming believers will be transformed into the glorious bodies by rapture.
So they are the ones who are going to come with the Lord to rule on this earth for 1,000 years.
That's right. So when they come, they will have a different body. When the Lord ascended and came and met with his apostles and spoke with them, what kind of body he has? It was a different body.
Glorified.
But a glorified body, the same way the people we have here that time.
So who are the ones who are able to die? Child will live up to 100 years.
But those who are naturally still living here, the unbeliever, subjects, those who are not part of the ruling, they will be still living, no?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, that time then they will have children. And those children will live 100 years and all.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there will be births and deaths, right?
Yeah.
Whoever has been raptured and whoever has been glorified will be coming in a different type of body, like how Christ has come into this world.
Yes.
But the other people, they will have the regular normal bodies.
Normal bodies, and they have to complete their course.
Yeah, they'll come.
And whatever is their destination, according to the Lord's decision, they would go.
But how they will have no Holy Spirit, no brother? How they will have life with the Christ that time?
Holy Spirit is given to us in the absence of the Lord.
Yeah, but how
when the Lord would live here for 1,000 years, then there is no need of Holy Spirit. The Lord himself is the living in the midst of his people here on the earth that time.
No.
When did the Holy Spirit come?
After the Lord has left.
When the Lord is here?
No.
He said, I am going and then I will send you.
Yeah.
And once he is here, is both are same, either Lord or the Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Very clear.
Yeah.
So we we don't have to worry how the Lord is going to work among the people who do not know him. Then what we are reading in the book of Isaiah in the morning, all the heathen people will come. See now book of Psalms 47. I will read the whole psalm. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible, he is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. That is, Israel was singing. Verse 4, he shall choose our inheritance for us and the excellency of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of trumpet, that is his victory. Verse 6. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, and sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. Verse 8. God reigneth over heathen, that means all the people. And that God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Verse 9. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, Abraham, for the rulers of the earth belong to God. That means all the kingdoms of the earth became the kingdoms of our Lord. He is greatly exalted. Now during that time, when our Lord rules, the Jewish people and the heathen people, everybody will be worshipping the Lord. You said you have some confusion, sister.
This only, brother, because I was thinking that in the 1,000 years period, when Jesus was here, I thought no more, all the things will be like how God, like all glorious bodies, people will be here. And how come that people will be here still, no? That I was not knowing, that I was a little bit, where it was, brother, any chapter like that?
What is that?
People are still, birth and...
Isaiah 65 verse 20, I gave the reference.
Isaiah 65.
65 verse 20.
Yeah, it says that you will be ruling with the Lord for 1,000 years. So whom you will be ruling? You'll be ruling with the...
There are other people. There are only 2/3 will be, world people will die before the coming of the Lord through the famines and the wars and the earthquakes and other judgments of the Lord. But the remainder of the people will still be there.
Understood.
And those people, and upon those people, the Lord will rule. In that ruling, those glorified saints will have a part in glorified bodies, but mostly in the heavenly sphere they will be there. If the Lord wants them to come here, they can come. Like the apostles, he said, in the coming age, ye will be sitting on the thrones and judging all the 12 tribes of Israel. So that is a special privilege given to them. So it is not for us that.